sword. And these are the days of great trial. Oh, famine and darkness and sword. Till we are the voice in the desert cry. Prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes.
Take place. Amen. Faithfulness. And he said, now because he's a bishop, he's not talking about his church. He's talking about elite churches. Because he wants to see many churches. And he said, just it's almost astounding to see them falling away. Those that was once faithful and dedicated to God, those who couldn't get not to come to church, find everything else but come to church. And he said the same thing that I said a few weeks ago. I said, Bishop, I just said that. He said, coming to church is the option. Right? And everything else takes priority. How do you know? How many know coming to church should be the priority? And everything else should be an option. Can we say, praise the Lord? And you can make a marriage excuse you want to make up. But in the end, God knows the truth. Amen? So we do bless the Lord for those that have the mind to be faithful. And I said, I made God a promise. If it's just me and the church mice, I'm going to still do God's will. Amen. Because our service, and if I can encourage you, maybe your dedication to service to God should not be based on anyone else, but how good God has been to you. The psalmist said that if it had not been for the Lord, who's on your side, where would you be? The job, your career, nothing else kept you. We are kept tonight by the power of God. So we're going to continue our Bible study that we went on last week on kept by the power of God. We thank God for my wife being here. Amen. For God blessing her and for God blessing all of you. And thank God for those of you that play baseball and jewelry at home and in bed. Thank God that I don't know what Mother Tinsley did to resurrect Mother Tinsley. After all those falls, she had to put something on. Amen. Oh, we just thank God. I mean, no, we serve a mighty good God. Amen. We thank God. I asked him today, I said, Mother Tinsley, you all right? I'm making it. Amen. We just bless the Lord. The secret when you do something like that, go home that same night and soak in some hot water and have some salt. That's what I did. And I woke up the next day and didn't have no pain in my legs. I don't know what happened to my arms. But nevertheless, God is good, all right? So we're going to stand for our scripture reading. And we're going to read from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. And I'm going to stay the course tonight, lest God detours us. But, you know, one of the greatest blessings that we have is to be faithful to God. Amen. What happened to Israel is they forgot. When God blessed them, they forgot. And he tells us in Deuteronomy 8 chapter, he said, when you live in the houses that you did not build, when you drink from the wells that you did not dig, when you eat from the vineyards that you did not plant, he said, when you have arrived and are successful, beware lest you forget the Lord. And I'm afraid tonight some have arrived and they are forgetting the Lord. But he said, remember, it's the Lord that gave you power to get wealth. For without him we can do nothing. 1 Peter 1:3 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his, thank God for mercy, has begun us again unto a, what kind of hope? We don't have a dead hope in Christ. We have a lively hope. Even when everything around us looks dead, we have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved. Aren't you waiting for that mansion? You got an inheritance. It ain't on this earth. Because this earth is going to pass away with the fast God. But we have an inheritance reserved in heaven. Who are kept by the how are we kept? By the power of God through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein ye Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading. word, and the church said,
word of the Lord.
Amen. Now, Sister Gibbs, we want to page 8, and I think it's going to be page 3 for you all. You won't have this first verse we're going to use, but we did have it earlier. And we're talking about being kept by what? The power of God. I don't care how much you pray, and you ought to pray. I don't care how much you read your Bible, and you definitely ought to read your Bible. And I don't care how much you fast, praying, fasting, and reading alone does not keep you. We are kept by the power of God. Amen. I don't care what your title is and your position in church. That does not keep you. Tonight we are kept by the power of God. So Psalms 4:3, I'm going to read that, and then we'll all be on the same notes, because you all should be starting on 2 Peter chapter 2, is that right? On page 3. So verse 3 of Psalm 4 reads, but no. Did he say yes? But what? No. That the Lord has set upon him that is godly for him. But what? No. The Lord has set upon him that is godly for himself. Amen. So if you live godly, the Bible lets us know God has set you apart. Pela, he's put you in a place of distinction. He's placed you in a designated place. He's placed you in a wonderful place. If you live godly, God says, you don't have to worry about what's happening to you, because I've set you apart for myself. That's why it's so important that we're faithful to God. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So the ears of the Lord are open unto the prayer or the cries of the righteous. If we are holy, God hears us. Amen. The praise team used to sing a song, he knows my name. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. How many of you are persuaded that God hears you? Now, he don't have to answer you right away, but be assured that he hears you. All right, 2 Peter 2, verse 4, read, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the a person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now God didn't do this to the godly, he did it to the what? Ungodly, amen, because he has sent us out the godly for himself. Lord, I bless your name. Live godly. No matter what's happening all about you, God will preserve you. God will save you. God will deliver you. Amen. Let everybody else go ungodly, but you stay godly. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them with an overflow, making them an example or example unto those in Africa that shall live. So there's my example of living ungodly. Amen. And deliver just like. God sets aside the godly for himself. So let it all come down around you. You stay godly. Don't you compromise your faith or conviction. Stay godly. Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexes his righteous soul from day to day with their but aren't you glad the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Lord, I just got to say godly. Amen. Don't you allow anything to make you compromise your faith and conviction. Say godly. Why? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of punishment to be, our day of judgment to be punished. But God knows how. You don't have to tell him how. He already knows how. God just wants you to be faithful. He knows how to deliver the godly out of every trouble, test, and come their way. Amen. So I just want to read from Exodus some accounts of Israel and Egypt. Was in the beginning of the plagues, when God was giving plagues, the Egyptian magicians were able to duplicate God's ways. But then they got to a point where they could not duplicate God's ways. When they couldn't duplicate God's ways, God said, now this is what we're going to separate the godly from the ungodly. So God saw a path to deliver the godly out of temptation. Don't fall to that weak excuse, I couldn't help myself. You can if you stay godly. If you stay godly, God will make a way for you out of no way. Amen. Exodus 8 verse 12 reads, and Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the words of Moses, and the frogs died out of the... Listen, these frogs were everywhere. All in the houses. So they died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stand. But when Pharaoh saw that there was rest, or that he had some relief, that the frogs were no longer there, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now listen, what the Egyptians had, when they had all the gods had the same lower body. But for the gods of the frog, this god had a frog head. Right? So this is how they worship. The god that had, or for the flies, it had a fly head. So all of these god, all of these plagues in their coming is against their gods. Because God is showing them, I got all power. You serve something that don't have power. You serve something that can't live and can't move. He said, but I got all power. Verse 16 said, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched up his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all. Throughout what? Every part of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth life. But they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, oh, we bless your name. They realized this is a higher power. This is the finger of God. Because this was one of their gods, lice. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now I just want to use these references because there are very few times in the Bible where the finger of God is used. Three times in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament. But remember, the term finger of God means the what? The authority or the power of God. So keep that in mind. The finger of God means the power of God. And we know that my wife talked on God having a physical or human attributes. Anthropomorphism, but guess what? God is a spirit. God has no physical attributes. But he said, they said, this is the finger of God. Amen? So let's go to, it says the phrase finger of God is mentioned three times in the Old Testament and once in the New. In Luke 11, 20, in regards to himself, this is Jesus mentions it one time in Luke 11, 20. Now Exodus 31:18 says, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of witnesses, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Deuteronomy is also repeats Exodus 31:18. All right, so those are the three times in the Old Testament. Now let's go, this is when Jesus was casting out devils. And they accused him, and he said, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub. And Beelzebub really means Lord of the Flies. That's what Beelzebub means. So they say, you're casting out demons, and that's another name for Satan. Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. So he said, you're casting out demons by the power of the devil. This is Jesus' response. He said, but if I'm with God, so now Jesus takes them back to where's the first time thing of God mentioned? Back in Exodus. Thing of God means the what? Authority and power of God. They said, we can't duplicate this because this is a finger of God. So when Jesus uses this term, you have to go back to the time of first mention. All right. So he said, listen, if I am the finger of God, so what is he saying? I am God. Right? You understand? He said, if I by the finger of God cast out the devil, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Compare Matthew 12:28 and Luke 11:20. Matthew 12:28 reads, but if I cast out devils with my God, he said, I'm not only the power of God, but I am the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Jesus is clearly saying that he is the finger of God. Authority. Compare Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. Where is God at in heaven? So we know that ain't two in heaven, and it can't be one. Because if Revelation says he's God Almighty, he is all power. Then Jesus said, I have all power in heaven. And we know they ain't one in heaven. So Jesus had to be God and the Spirit of God. So Luke 11:27, it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the path which gave with thou hast. So maybe we need to pass this on to the Catholic Church. Right? Because they blessed Mary. They held Mary. They said Mary is the greatest. But what does Jesus say? And this woman is trying to bring the attention back to Mary. But Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that what? And keep it. You want to be blessed? Hear his word and keep it. Don't hear his word and let it slip. Because we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So they're trying to bring the attention back to Mary. Jesus said, more blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Additional reference scriptures that confirm that both Abraham and Isaac were blessed because they heard the word of God and kept it. Genesis 26:1-5, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now we went over this when we went over Genesis 25. You all remember? Because they were in a famine, and Isaac was doing what his father had done when he had a famine. He was on his way back down to Egypt. But God told him, he said, don't go to Egypt. I'm going to bless you in the famine. Right? And we know from the account when we studied Genesis 25, God blessed him mightily in the famine. He sowed and they grew in the famine. He was so blessed that those ungodly people watched him and said, what is this? What is God doing? Because God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God has sent the godly aside from himself. Amen. It says, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be. That's all you need for God to bless you. You don't need a million people with you. All you need is one God. He said, I will be with thee, and I will. So if God is with you, he'll bless you. I don't care what forces and things are coming against you. God will make a way where there is no way. He said, I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because in Abraham, he said, now listen, Abraham obeyed my voice. Now what do I want you to do? I need you to understand, you need to also, the church needs to learn to obey his voice. And kept my charge. He said, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, the question is this. How could Abraham keep his laws when the laws had come to Moses' head? Think about that. He said, Abraham had kept my laws. So obviously the law existed before Moses put it into writing. But up to Abraham, because Abraham knew was well aware that God did not have to reiterate the law, because Abraham knew the law. But when the children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years, they forgot the law. So when God uses Moses to liberate them, he has to teach them the law all over again, because they were in Egypt, which is a type of the world. So what God has to do when you get too involved with the world, he has to reinforce his law. So he said, Abraham kept my law, but how could he keep it? Because it was not yet given. It was a well understood and known, the law of God. All right, so he said, Abraham kept my law. If we want to help our children in their walk with the Lord, they must see, not hear. You can't talk faith and salvation and talk godliness, but when they watch you, they have to see. Us obey the Lord as Isaac saw his father's obedience to God. Remember, God is glorified. He said, as you saw with your father Abraham, Isaac, I need you to also display the same obedience. If we want our children to be blessed, they should see it in us. Amen. You can't say one thing and live another. Because kids don't go by what you say, they go by what you do. So they observe you. Now, you see, a lot of times you say, how did my child get so far away from God? What were you displaying? That's something we all need to consider. We want our children to be saved. Well, how do you conduct and carry yourself? Let's keep on going. Isaac received a generational blessing. I was thinking I should change that from generational to perpetual blessing. Right? Because when you think of generational blessing, people would think of a generational curse. But there ain't no generational curse in Christ. Right? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Generational blessing, a result of seeing his father's obedience to the word of the Lord. So Isaac observed his father. Remember, Elder Gibbs talks about that unsung hero in Genesis chapter 24, I believe it is. That unsung hero was his eldest servant. Well, how was that servant so faithful and trust God, trust the Lord, going to make a way? Because he watched Abraham. So everybody that observed Abraham was blessed. Why? Because Abraham lived what he spoke. Yes. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Abraham found favor and passed on that blessing because he obeyed. His faith was not limited to his personal experience. He created every adult, everyone that has influence, and want to have a godly legacy. Can we say hallelujah? He created a legacy with God that lasted beyond his lifetime. So did David and many others. The idea that God has no grandchildren, so popular in evangelical individualism, seems to overstep scripture. God is involved with Isaac because of Abraham. Furthermore, it is Abraham's diligent effort that creates the spiritual legacy that was passed on to Isaac and his seed, which includes us. So the Bible says, I believe in Acts, the 5th chapter, a lot of people are trying to get the Holy Ghost. But the scripture says, God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Right? So a lot of people are trying to get the Holy Ghost, but their lives are not in line with God. They're walking in disobedience. God won't fill you with the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we say, Lord, I prayed and I prayed in the Holy Ghost and I've asked for direction, and I can't seem to get a breakthrough. The question is not whether you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you obeying him as you pray? Obedience is important. Then he said to obey is what? All your sacrifices mean nothing to God if you don't obey him. All right, so let us go back to Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, now this is after those Egyptians, magicians, couldn't duplicate the lice. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water and say unto him, isn't that wonderful? God can tell you what the enemy is about to do when you have a relationship with him. When you talk and listen to him. He said, I'm going to tell you what the enemy is about to do tomorrow. Because God knows how to deliver the God. Can we say hallelujah? Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servant and upon thy people and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground whereon they are. And I will, set them apart. Pema. God said, I will set apart the godly for myself. So God said, listen, all of this is going to happen in all the land, and I've got some people. I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. Why? God knows how to deliver the God. So I believe some say, you'll see it with your eyes, but it shall not come by thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold this sea, the reward of the wicked. 10,000 will fall on thy right side, 1,000 fall on the right side, 10,000 on your left, and 10,000 on your right. He said, but only with your eyes are you going to see this right. I'm going to set it. God said, I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to put that which is godly for myself. So it won't even come by you. All you're going to do is see it. Aren't you glad we're saved tonight? When everything around us is coming down, aren't you glad you're saved? Because it's going to happen, but we're only going to see it. We're not going to experience it. Because God said, I'm setting these people aside and live it right for myself. Amen? He says, that no swarm of flies shall be there to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between God and ungodly. This is what he said. He said, I'm going to make a difference between what's godly and ungodly, between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Now let's go to Exodus, the 9th chapter. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus said the Lord God of the. He said, this is the God of the Hebrews. You need to know who you worship. You need to know who you're dealing with. Let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous rain. And the Lord shall, oh, he knows how to separate the God. He said he shall sever. What's sever? He's going to set it apart. It's Tema. He's going to set aside the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. Why? God said, you live godly, I'll take care of all your possessions. You live right. He said, listen, it'll be happening all around you. And the enemy will be looking and saying, how is this possible that it can happen to us but not happen to you? The songwriter said, I never knew it could be until it happened to me. Hallelujah. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt, listen, cattle were their gods. They all died. Right? Because there is no God like our God. You worshiping the cat. God said, I'm going to show you how much power your God shall have. So all the camel of Egypt died. But when the camel of the children of Israel died, God is separating. Let God, you don't have to worry about it. The enemy can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God said, you little God, I got you covered. The enemy can't touch you. God will be a fence all around you. Just give God it. You don't have to figure it out. So I say, which one you trying to figure out? God is what? Already worked it out. All right? And Pharaoh said, listen, now Pharaoh, he's curious. Wait a minute. All my cattle died. He said, listen, I want y'all to go down to Goshen. He said, I heard what he said, but I don't believe it. So Pharaoh said, behold, there was not one of the camel of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh, he got even mad. Said, what is God doing? Everything is happening to us. And look at these people, they're blessed. You don't have to worry about the enemy. Amen. He said, say this is not to have you, but the Lord said, I'm praying for you. You know what I mean? God said, I already sent you a heart. You've already been covered. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 22, stretch forth thy hand towards heaven. There may be held in all the land of Egypt, for man upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Listen, things are getting worse. You lost all your animals, then you must lose all your vegetation. Why don't you just let go? Why don't you surrender? Because God had to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts were perfect towards him. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. I would have to have been there to see that. Can you imagine the fire just started running along the ground? Why? Because God did, but not in Goshen. For his people where they were protected. For there was hell and fire mingled with hell, very grievous, such as there was not the like it in all the land of Egypt since it became. God said, I'm separated right now. I'm going to show you what I do with those that are godly and those that are not godly. Amen. It said, and the hell spoke throughout all the land of Egypt. All that was in the field, both man and beast. And it smelled hell, smote every herb of the field, and break every tree of the field. But God. Can we say, but God? Only in the land of Goshen, where God's people were, where the Holy was there no hell. You know what God is doing? He's separating the godly. Listen, don't ever compromise, no matter what scene. Now, we know Pharaoh and Egypt were supposed to be there, supposed to be greater than the children of Israel. Don't compromise. Even when it looks bad, let God work it out. Even when it looks like you're losing everything, let God fix it. Amen. For God knows how to separate the godly from self. Now let's go to Exodus 10. We're almost finished. We're doing good. And the Lord's, I'll have to give you the verse, y'all got it, 21, right? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now, we know that the Egyptians worship the sun god Ra. Right? Listen, God is attacking every one of their gods. They worship the sun. So God said, you know what I'm going to do for 3 days? You're going to see no sun. I'm going to show you who is the sun of righteousness. I'm going to show you who's God. For 3 days, you won't even see light. Now listen to how God did this. Only God could do this. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. It was so dark. They couldn't even see one another. This is God. God said, listen, I'm trying to show you I'm God, and beside me, there's no other. He said, I'm going to do it for him. 3 days. Amen. He says, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place. God, listen. This is not a regular darkness. This is a supernatural darkness. God supernaturally attacks the sun and just closes it up. It was so dark they couldn't even get up and walk. Right? So you have to get the visual picture of what God is doing to show that he's God, but he separated his people. Yes. Serve God. No matter how bad it gets, God will take care of you. They didn't get up for 3 days, but all the children of Israel, all the children, had light in their dwelling. Why? Because Jesus is light. And God is light. Amen. So they couldn't put that light out because God is light. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Now, remember, all of their animals have been killed. The cattle, the beasts, they all been destroyed. So he said, now you can go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be saved. Let your little ones also go with you. He said, listen, we don't have nothing to worship our God because they've all been destroyed. So you can go serve your God, but you've got to leave your animals so we can sacrifice to our God. This is what he said. Listen, all that beast was what? Destroyed by the hail. It was destroyed by the plague. All of them were destroyed. He said, now you can go, but you can't take your flock. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices. And you can't take what belongs to God and sacrifice it to your gods. Amen. You can't take our offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. When you know what he said? He said, what God has set apart for himself, we're not going to give it to you to serve your false gods. He said, everything that God has set apart for us is going with us. And that's how we have to be. Everything God gave us, take it with you. Don't you allow anything to cause you to compromise your faith. Amen. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. After he will let you go, when he shall let you go, he will surely thrust you out thence altogether. He said, now listen, I've already gave you superiority over them. Even though you were the slaves and they were the masters. Even though you were the strangers and they were the citizens. He said, now, because I move, I'm giving you favor. How many know favor is better than anything this world can give us? Because favor comes from God. He says, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Why? They already realize who has the dominance. They realize who has the power. Those Egyptians want to get rid of you so bad, just go get in there and give it to you and say, just get away from us. And the Lord gave the people. And the Lord gave the people. When they didn't have money, you don't have to have money if you have favor. Amen. Just thank God. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat. You all you have to do is thank God. And God will give you favor. Hallelujah. And the sight of you just over the man Moses was. All of a sudden, he was nobody. He's very great in the land of Egypt. In the sight of Pharaoh's servant. In the sight of the people. Remember, the people worshiped who? Pharaoh was a god. They worshiped Pharaoh. Right now, Pharaoh's taking the back seat to who? Moses. Be careful. You know what you said? You know what you said on the other day? I'll tell you later. I didn't realize the legal tools. You know what I'm talking about? All right. All right. But so Pharaoh was there in God, but no longer is he God. Because who has God elevated? Only God has the power to elevate and promote. Right? So Pharaoh thought he was great, but now the people are worshiping us. They see Moses as greater than Pharaoh. Alright? He said that Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the land, into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne." No, he said, "Listen, I'm going to take care of that, God. Because this, when Pharaoh died, his God, his son, was supposed to be the next God." So he said, "Just to let you know who God has all power, I'm taking that God out." Right? So if he had all the power, he should have been able to resist, but not with God. He said, "Even the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, whatever is left. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was not like it, nor shall be like it." God said, "I'm about to do something they have never seen and will never see again, just to show you that I'm God, and besides me, there is no God." He said, "Now you're going to be blessed if you're obedient. If you're going to be blessed if you seek God." So God said, "Now I'm going to do this in Egypt, but you have, now I'm going to give you some conditions. I'm going to give you some things that you have to do also not to be have this curse passed on to you. So now I'm going to test your obedience, okay?" He said, "But I guess any other children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord does." God separates his people if you stay God. And we're going to look at Exodus 12. "And ye shall keep it." Now he talked about the lamb. You take the lamb and sit down. Remember, they had to keep the lamb for 4 days to make sure there were no blemishes, no imperfection. So early he said, "You're going to take the lamb on the 10th day." Then he tells them in verse 6, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the..." Now he said, "Listen, this plague, if you don't want the plague, you got to follow my instruction. You have to be obedient." So the only way that this death angel passed over them, they had to be what? Obedient. If we want the blessings of God, saints, we have to also be obedient. Now he doesn't give them a few steps, he gives them all the steps. "And they shall take the blood." Just say, "Well, what difference does the blood make?" Well, we don't know. God said do it, so just do it. The blood on the two side posts and on the upper post of the door of the houses, when they eat it. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Now he's giving them things that they have to do in order to have this death angel pass over them. They had to also be what? Obedient. Right? They couldn't say, "Well, we don't understand." You can say, "I should understand. I'm just asking you to do it." Alright? He said, "Don't eat it raw, not sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his leg, with the person itself. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." He said, "Listen, roast it, but don't leave nothing." Alright? So he's giving them what? Specific instructions. Because he wants to see if they want to be obedient. Right? He didn't ask you, he didn't negotiate. As I said on Sunday, he didn't make a deal. God said, "This is what I want you to do." And the reason that we don't have all the blessings as saints that we should have is because we like to try to make too many deals instead of just being obedient to God and doing what he says do. "And thus you shall eat it with the Lord's girdle, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment." God said, "Listen, they ain't gonna have no gods. He's already destroyed them all. He's someone to execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will. Lord, we bless you for the blood. We still in the blood. The blood is in the Lamb, and the Lamb is Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the. When I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And the plague should not come to you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a reward, memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. They were what? They were obedient. God looks for obedience. You cannot justify disobedience. Didn't the Bible say every sin and transgression? What's transgression? Disobedience. Every sin and transgression gets a just recompense of reward. So no matter how you justify the disobedient, God said, well, you can justify it, but you weren't obedient. So there are consequences for disobedience. Amen? And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord swore all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon the throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Moses rose, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all the servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, remember he told before you couldn't take the flock. Don't let God put you in a position where you have to come to yourself. Right? Because he held them back because they wanted to keep the flock. He said, listen, I know before I said you can't take the flock. He said, take everything. Just get out of here. Take your flock, your herds, as you have said, and be gone. He said, but bless me also. Right? You know what Pharaoh was saying? He said, I see you got the power. Because God sits inside the godly. What do you mean, bless you also? All the trouble you give him. Amen. And the Egyptians were urging upon the people that they might send them out. They said, please get them out of here, because if you don't, we'd be all dead men. And Exodus 14 says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them. You know, this is when they're going through the Red Sea. On the left, thus the Lord saved Israel and thee out of the land of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. This is when they crossed the Red Sea. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And all the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. In Exodus 15, we have quotes here. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. That's what we learned on Sunday in Isaiah. The Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my song. He has become
my salvation.
That's what Isaiah said. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My father's God, and I will. They learn because of their fathers. The spiritual legacy was passed on because they observed their fathers. So they said, this is our father's God. So we're going to act just like we saw our fathers act. This is our father God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And Miriam and Aaron, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out with her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. For the horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness. God has already blessed you to be godly. God has already did all of this. No one does the songwriter who my soul left me wondering. You know, the song says, I don't have to see what God has done. All I have to do is think of the goodness. Don't ask God for nothing else. Just when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and I'm not asking you to show me anything else, Lord. I'm just right now, I'm taking a sela. I'm taking a spiritual call. I'm just taking a reflection call. I'm just thinking about how the doctor said no, but God said yes. How the financial institution said no, but God said yes. How all the enemies said God can't, but God said I will. He said, just take a moment and think about what God has already done for you. Can we just say hallelujah? And when they came to Meribah, they could not drink of the water of Meribah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Meribah. And the people, after all that God has already done, why would you murmur? Right? Every once in a while, saints, we need to just take a moment to reflect. A moment just to think of what God has done. Think of where you were, and think of where you are. Think of when you didn't have a good job, then you got a job, a house, and a car. Think about when you had to get CDTA from place to place. And if you were like me, CDTA didn't work to your job, so you catch the bus so far and walk the last 2 miles. Now look what God has done. Think of when you used to go in the closet and didn't have to pick out a suit, just put on the only thing you had. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, how do you know my soul cries out? I said my soul cries out. What? I don't have to see anything else. I don't care where I am. I'm going to look at what God has brought me from. The songwriter said, through many dangers, cause and snare. I have already come to a grace that brought
printers in the church, but only one printer is default,
So when I get ready to print, I'm going to have to say, I want this printed. It's my default. It automatically goes there. When you're in trouble, God should be your default. You don't have to make no other choice. You should automatically go there. Amen. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what which is right in sight, and will give ear to his commandment. Keep what? All his statutes. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought from the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. If we need anything from God tonight, let's listen, let's hearken, and let's do it diligently. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do we have any questions or any comments?